book of Psalms in the 119th chapter. I want to start reading in the first verse. I was going down the road yesterday, coming home. And sometimes, I mean, I really want God to speak to me and show me what He wants me to bring in church. I want God to be a part of it. I don't want it to be because I've heard it. I think it sounds good. It's got good points, or, you know, I've heard this 5 points or 3 points in a poem. You know, you get into all that stuff and you go to Bible college and they start telling you how to alliterate and enumerate, and, you know, people do all different things. What I want is God's power to speak. And sometimes God gives me these thoughts, and I tell you what I want to do. I want to debate with Him. I want to say, God, God, what are you going to do with that? God, are you sure that's what you want me to talk about? And I was coming down the road yesterday, and I was thinking, and I had this, not what I'm going to talk about tonight, but a thought on my heart and my mind that God had me studying about, and I was thinking about, and I was kind of, you know, wrestling with it. And I looked up, and there was a sign in somebody's yard that had the title of the message that God was dealing with me about. And I just said, yes, Lord. It's about Him, not about us. Amen? And this what I want to share with you tonight, is sometimes I'll be sitting with the boys, and there's one cartoon, Kung Fu Panda. I don't know if y'all have seen Kung Fu Panda. But I was doing my daddy duty, watching Kung Fu Panda with Luke. And they had this turtle talking. And it had this line. And it said, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. And of course, here I am, you know, with my preaching ears. I went, bing. And I'm listening to Kung Fu Panda, and I get my notepad out. And I start outlining something. Well, it's kind of the same way with this. I was watching something with my boys in a line. It said, a question. Someone walks in, they see a Bible. And I've actually had this, something similar to this happen to me. And they look at the Bible and they said, you read the Bible? I said, yeah. Well, the next question is, does it help? Now, what I want to talk about tonight is getting help from God's Word. Because you can get help from God's Word. And as I begin to think about that and it began to stir in my mind, immediately a thought come to my mind of something Kendra said to me Sunday as we walked back and we were preparing, you know, to shake hands at the end of the service. And a lady come out and we spoke to her. And Kendra leaned over and she spoke to me and she said, she's been taking notes in her own language. And the lady is coming and she's listening to me preach in English. And she's taking notes in Mandarin. I was at work today and I met a lady, very, very thick accent from Italy. And I thought she was from Russia. And I began to talk to her. And I began to talk to her about how many different people and cultures we have represented in our building. I think we have people from 13 different countries. But here's what I want you to understand. God's the same in every country. God's the same in every culture. And regardless of what language you translate the Word of God into, it has the power to affect and change people's lives. And in Psalms chapter 119, I want to read verse 1 through 8, and then I want to read 9 through 16. But this is the scripture that came to my heart when I was thinking about this. It said, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, and they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently, and oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. It says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. And then the next verse, number 9, is actually the one that immediately popped into my heart and my mind. And this is a verse that we often use with our young people in messages or services with them. It says, wherewithal or how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes and will not forget thy word. Now, the question, you read the Bible, does it help? Well, I want to tell you how to get help from the word of God. You know, the number one thing you got to do is you got to read it. Now, you can be in God's house and you can hear it. I was talking to somebody just Monday night, and we were talking about our service coming up, and we were talking about the Perrys, and I said, you know, the service Sunday will more than likely, and all I want is what God wants, okay? And I really mean that. I said, but more than likely, it's probably going to be a lot of singing. And they piped up, and they said, well, I got saved at a singing. Do you know if you've got the Holy Spirit moving, there's word coming through those songs. And God begins to speak, because if it's gospel and it lifts up Jesus Christ, it's based on the word of God. But you got to hear it. You got to read it. And you got to take in, and it's kind of like this. We had this wild game banquet. And you got up here, Brother Bruce, and you held up and you said, you called out this name. Well, they wasn't here. And the crowd went, oh, they missed it. Do you know that sometimes you must be present to win? Because they just went to somebody else. And when I begin to look at this, you know, one thing that I'll tell you, when I get into the word of God, go down to the 18th verse. He said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I got to get into it. Now, you need a regular dose of God's word. You need God's word. You need to hear it. You need to be around it. You need to be a part of it. Now, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, you could flip that around. There are people that are thirsting and hungering after everything there is in the world, but they're not filled. And you see that they're not filled from the life that they're living, because no matter what they have, they're never satisfied with it. The Bible teaches me that godliness with contentment is great gain. That's why when you find somebody that's right with God, that's at peace with God, and you look at them and they've got joy in their heart and their life, it's not because everything is all right all the time. It's because they found out what's most important. You need a regular dose of God's word. Now, what happens when you don't have a regular dose of God's word? Without a regular dose of God's word, you can expect spiritual famine. So what does spiritual famine produce? It produces weakness. That's no strength. Do you know that sometimes you need strength in order to be able to stand, because you never know what you're going to face? Now, here's something I want you to understand, and it was mentioned earlier, a prayer request for someone who gets concerned about things sometimes in the world that we can't control. You know, the Bible says in one place, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That word careful means worried. Now, I want to tell you what the devil will do. He'll come stand beside you, and he's going to whisper in your ear. He'll whisper in your ear about everything that you could possibly get worried about. He'll whisper in your ear wherever he can find a place to needle you. Because if there's something that doesn't bother you, he's going somewhere else. It's kind of like, you know, this is the way I am at night. I'll lay down. I know y'all going to think I've sold this store, and people say, are you 80 years old? No, I'm not 80 years old. But I'll lay down, and I'll sleep for about 2 hours. And I'll get up, and I'll walk around the house, and I'm absolutely awake. And I usually move at this point from the recliner to the bed. That's just the way it is. You know what I'll do? I'll check the doors. I'll check the back door. Now, y'all don't do this too, do you? I'll check the back door. I'll check the front door. And then I go lay down. And sometimes I hear stuff. And I'm laying there and I'm thinking, well, did the boys lock the garage door? And I realize I'm hearing this. It's kind of like if you lock the door, it's locked. And if you turn the stove off, it's off. And what I have to do is I say, I'm letting it go. But what the devil wants to do is he wants to get in your ear, and I don't care what it's about, and he wants you to get a hold of it and hold on to it. And when you don't have a regular dose of God's word, guess what? It produces weakness. That's no strength. So when he starts to whisper, you can't deal with it. It's dryness. Do you know the greatest thing in my life? And I told somebody, I tell them at work, I don't care. I said the greatest thing I love doing is preaching. I love being in the house of God. I love being in a service. And, you know, I want to tell you something right now. Now, I just hope that tomorrow or Sunday is half as good as when Wilburn and Wilburn were here. Okay? If it's half as good, it'll be worth driving 100 miles. But if people knew what kind of service we had when they were here, they would have not have missed it. They would have did everything they could do to get here. And when you get hungry for the things of God that way, there's nothing in this world that can compare to that. But when you don't have a regular dose of the Word of God, it's dryness, and it's like a desert-type thirst. A couple of summers ago, me and the boys went down to way over on the other side of the state, and it was 100 degrees, and you know it's 100% humidity. I took a cooler full of water bottles, and I was drinking them like this. I had one pouring it down my back, and I had one in my mouth. And we were just trying to build a little small deer stand and hang it up. And I realized in a very short period of time, the dozen water bottles were gone, and it was just like I had cotton in my mouth. And I began to be miserable, and I said, look, we're just going to have to go. Now, the truth is, I was sweating so bad, I could have dehydrated. But, you know, when you don't get the Word of God in you like you're supposed to, it could affect you. The Bible says that a cheerful heart doeth good like a medicine. And a lot of times the reason the heart is not cheerful is because the heart is not in touch with the living God. See, spiritual famine produces a troubled heart, which means no peace, which leads to dissatisfaction, because there's nothing in the life of a Christian that's going to satisfy you like the presence and the peace of God. It's lack of joy. So you must hear it. You must have a regular dose of God's word. You must read it. Now, the second one is you must hear it. Now, you can be in church all the time, and sometimes this happens. You know, we stand and we sing and we deliver the word of God, and people come, and it's like I've said before, so they sit back with their arms crossed and they say, none of that affects me. But you got to hear what's being read. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to me? Because I want God to speak to me. And I can tell you, looking back on my life, there have been times I've been in the house of God and the preacher get up and preach. And I'm just going to be honest. I'm sitting up front like I normally do. I try to look spiritual. But God's word is tearing me up. And I'm sitting there and I know the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, that's for you. But when I walk out, I say, thank you, Lord, because God loves me enough that he's willing to say, I care about you. This is not where it's supposed to be in your life. But I have to hear it. I have to listen to it, which goes back to that Psalms 119, that I'd pray that God would open my eyes, that I would behold wondrous things out of his law. Now, here's what happens. We come in, we're in the presence of the Word of God. God's Word is poured out on us, and we go out. This is where the next one comes into play. And sometimes this takes time. You must process it. You got to process it. If you come back here to the 15th verse, he says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. You know that there's times that I've heard something, it's kind of like when God deals. Sometimes, folks, God gives me messages, and they're just for me. I want to tell you, since I've been here in the past 9 months or 10 months, God has given me messages that I've absolutely outlined that he's never letting me preach. They're mine. He's giving them to me. And there's times that I've heard preachers and God would be dealing with me about something where David said, Lord, you know, he prayed that God would expose him. And when we take and we hear the word of God, we got to go out and we got to meditate on it. And here's what it's like. It's like digesting it. Because I'm just going to tell you the truth. Sometimes it's like eating something that sours on your stomach. Because it's heavy and it's hard. And what you have to do is you have to get control of yourself to allow God's word to do the work in your life that God wants to do. You have to get it into your heart and into your mind and let it sink all the way into your soul. It's like allowing God to do a work on you. And here's what God wants to do. God wants to work in your life. It's like when the potter takes the clay and he puts it on the wheel. I remember, I when I was growing up, I took a lot of art classes, okay? I'm an artist. Y'all don't know that, but I'm an artist. But I was in art, and I remember, you know, in the ninth grade, my art teacher said, no doubt you're going to get a scholarship. All right, you know, you can draw, you can paint. Now, he's showing me all this stuff. Oh, yeah, you know, you can do it. By the time I got in 12th grade, I had what's called senioritis. And I would come into that art class, and I went from making A's. Don't tell Matthew, please. I went from making A's in the ninth grade to I had a C in art in the 12th grade. And it wasn't because I couldn't draw. I had senioritis. I just wasn't interested in it. And I remember one time I was back there and I was working on this wheel, making this clay pot. And I was goofing off and I said, look, I want to go to the library or the lunchroom or whatever. And he said, I'll make a deal with you. He said, I want you to make that pot just as tall as you can make it. And when you're done, if I can't make it twice as tall as you made it, I'll let you go. I worked on that thing and I said, I got him. Had it about yay tall. He come in there, and it was one of those old kick wheels, you know, where you kick it with your foot. And you had your water and your sponge, and he started working on it, and he started molding it. And he measured it with a ruler, and it wasn't long till he had it twice as tall, and he added another inch to it. And I begin to think about that. You know, sometimes we think we got it figured out, and we think we're good. But when the master's hand touches it, and that's what I saw, he was the master, I was not. When the master's hand touches it, things change, but we have to allow the master to work. That's why when we read the word and we hear the word, here's where we process it. It's when we agree with God that the word is correct in what it says about me. The word applies to me. I have to accept what the Word of God does to me when I hear it. The Word of God is true. It's true in what it says about me. And I have to accept that truth. Because if I reject that truth, what I stand in potential error of is God not speaking to me. God forbid that I ever get to the point that I can't hear the voice of God speak to me and let me know that I'm headed down the wrong path. I do not want God to ever not speak to me. Then I have to do this. I have to admit, and this is why people don't get saved. This is why people aren't in church right here. I have to admit that the Word has authority over me. So He's God and I am not. And when I'm processing this Word, can you get help from the Word of God? Absolutely. You got to read it. You got to hear it. You process it. And then number four, you must heed it. You got to do what it says. You see, in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 13, it says, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." Then in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You know, sometimes I hear stories of some of the things that I'm just going to say, you know, we know what goes on in the world. They're lost. But when I hear stories of preachers and choir directors and deacons that are living a double life, I want to tell you, it says right here, we're deceiving our own selves. But there are many out there that are doing just that. You know what they're not doing? They're not reading, they're not hearing, they're not processing, and they're certainly not heeding the Word of God. The truth is, can you get help from the Word of God? This work can help me if I receive it. This Word can help me if I receive it. And this Word can help me if I accept it. Now, most everybody in here has been in relationships or married, some of you for a long time. Have you ever had your spouse look at you and say something to you that you just, and they say, "Oh, that's not me. I don't like you saying that about me." You know why it bothers you sometimes so much? Because it's so true. It's so true. And the only way you're going to get past it and learn from it, and I'll just have to be honest. I like when, you know, me and my wife together, I like to work on her stuff. It's like a preacher friend of mine, he said, you know, my wife's got years worth of stuff to work on. But it seems like every time we go walking and spending time together, she wants to work on my stuff. She wants to point out, and this man's a great preacher, by the way. I heard him say this from the pulpit. He said, you know, she wants to point out, and she said, "Did you notice you said so-and-so this way?" Do you know the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend? The Bible also says choose a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, the Word of God, sometimes it cuts us. That's what the Word of God is. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Because it's alive. And that's where I accept it. And I'm trying to train my son-in-law just to say, "Yes, dear. Yes, honey." I do it most of the time, but I'm still learning. But, you know, it's the same thing with the Word. You have to accept it. But just because you accept it and you know it's true, it won't do any good if you don't heed it. So when God speaks to us, here's how you get help from the Word of God. You do what the Word of God says. You read this book, and I want to tell you something. If you're down, you go to the book of Psalms and you begin to read. If you're struggling, if you're troubled, you go to the book of Psalms and you begin to read. I want to read one more verse to you, and I'm going to close tonight. It's Psalms chapter number 16 and verse number 11. It says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So how do I know the path of life? How do I have joy? How do I really enjoy the time that God's given me here? By taking heed to this right here. Amen. Now, I hope that something I said tonight was a blessing to you. This is, God gives it to me. You know, the Bible teaches, unto whomsoever much is given, much will be required of him. That's why I can't understand how any man could stand in a pulpit and God show him this and him go out and walk over it. I appreciate this church praying for me because I take this seriously. And I know the devil don't like it. Y'all know the devil don't like it? Y'all know the devil don't like what's going on around here? That's why we need to pray for one another. Lift one another up and be forgiving.